Secretary Conley.
Oh, good morning, sir.
How was Richmond?
Just great.
Yeah, are you gonna give me a little? You got a minute?
Yes, sir.
Give me a little rundown on their attitudes and so forth.
Mr. President, they couldn't have been nicer. They said they had the largest crowd that anyone had ever seen in the hotel.
Oh, I'm sure.
They had them on the stage. They had the tables on the stage. They had tables in the balcony.
My gosh.
It was a very excellent affair. We had a very small reception before we went in. We had a. I met with the directors of the chamber after the speech was over. They were very, very kind to me, but it was a very enthusiastic group. I talked about political affairs, and of course the governor was not there. He was sick, but the lieutenant governor, Howell, was there. The attorney general was there. Congressman Satterfield was there. Mrs. Holton, the governor's wife, was there. And Nellie and all the ladies sat down at the table in front of us and had a great time. They think you're in awfully good shape. They don't... I talked to...
Did the subject, John, of that terrible Richmond decision... I hope that you made it clear that I didn't appoint that judge.
Well,
I don't want to blame Johnson, but damn it, you know, that son of a gun is no good.
Mr. President, I just made a crack at one point without getting into it. In my speech, I said that I didn't think that you believed in a government where a bureaucrat from Washington or a federal judge ought to tell the people how to run their business. And my God,
what happened?
They just came unglued. They just came. I didn't make any reference to anything else. I just said that you didn't think that the bureaucrat in Washington or even a federal judge ought to dictate to people the course of their life and what they ought to do. And they just came, just wild applause.
That's the way to get it across. You don't have to spell it out.
No. And I didn't refer to any issue, no names, no nothing. I just did a general proposition.
Right. That's great.
And, but they received it exceedingly well. I thought it was
good.
Well, they all said that, and there was no question about it. It was.
And they, you thought based on what you said that they think we're in pretty good shape.
They think you're in real good shape. They, of course, that's a strong area for you anyway.
Of course, they love Powell.
And they like Powell. That was a very popular appointment. His partner, Buford, is the incoming president of the chamber.
Oh, great.
And he was there.
I'm glad you did this.
Bob Buford.
Tomorrow
there were about 800, 900 people there, and they turned them away. They turned away, I don't know how many, but 100 or so requests for additional tickets. They just couldn't accommodate them. And they all said, Ms. Holton, the wife of the governor, told Nellie that she'd never seen a crowd like that in the hotel for any occasion.
No.
And so it was a good turnout.
Well, it isn't too much of a darn burden. The more you can hit those audiences, John, it's just...
Well, I'm going to Pittsburgh this coming week.
Great. What's your forum there?
It's the Pittsburgh Chamber.
Oh, good. Good. Well, the Chamber, you see, as distinct from them, they're Main Street business.
That's right.
They got lawyers and doctors.
That's right.
And they're always covered, aren't
that's
they?
Correct. They're covered, and it's all across the board. You get them big and little, all, you know, young and old, and men and women.
Yeah.
So it's a good forum.
Good.
And
good.
I must say, they just said that they thought you were in excellent shape there, and that you'd carry it over anybody. And you're strong there anyway.
Richmond has been a good town for us.
Yes, sir. But they think you, and they just don't think anybody can touch you now.
Natalie, I was going to tell you that when I just took Stans and Peterson and Flanagan out and announced the change of the guard.
Yes, sir.
But in presenting Peterson, I said that Secretary Connally and I had discussed the matter and that he felt, as I did, that the best qualified man to in this very, very important field would be Peterson. So I thought it was good to get that. I just know that that's why I put it. And Pete liked it that way, too. So shows him where it is. The other thing I was going to ask you was this. I was thinking after our meeting, if there were some way you could reach bankers. Now, you know, we can talk all we want about, George Shultz, when I talked to him afterwards, I said that, you know, about this M1 thing, he says that it was very significant that Arthur admitted that M1 had not moved up enough,
right,
and that he was having trouble with Hayes, New York Bank, and he asked if we could do something about Bremer. Well, we're going to try to do something about Bremer, but we can't let Arthur have the name the successor or so forth. But my point is that the bankers are a panicky, timid bunch of people. Is there, I was wondering if a speech by you to bankers, or a meeting with bankers, or something could maybe have some effect. I don't know how much rhetoric does with these kids.
Well, a lot does. I met with a bunch of them yesterday morning, Mr. President, with bankers.
In a private meeting?
About 30 of them, yes, sir.
Well, that's good. What did you tell them?
35 of them. Well, they're not all that. This particular meeting had to do with the refinancing. They're not all that flooded with money, and I didn't, you know, I don't like to argue with odds when we get in front of you. But they're not flooded with, and they're not looking yet for loans. They're pretty well loaned up, and it depends on what part of the country you're in.
All right,
but,
let's get the money out.
There's no reason why we can't have the money out.
We're going to get the Bremer and I put a high priority. I told Schultz to get a hold of Rogers and say we goddamn had to have some appointment for him, and if he'll take it. And then let's get another man on that board.
All right.
We need.
Well, I'll get Bill Camp, too, working on these bankers. Frankly, he's got as much influence or more of them than anybody. And they like him, and I'll get him to do it, and I'll do it. We all have daily contact.
Can I suggest this, that if with the bankers, John, if with the bankers you feel that I could be helpful at some point in a small group, I don't know, I understand, I'll do it, but it had to be totally off the record, of course, because that getting up and telling bankers to loan money is like telling people to buy stock.
Mr. President, I don't think there's any problem. These bankers have got their interest rates down. They're not complaining about anything. They are uncertain because, frankly, they don't think the Fed. If they've got one complaint, they think the Fed is not going to keep this easy money policy. They think they're going to turn it around. Now that's what their concern is.
Then all right, we'll get at that.
And so what I'm trying to assure is that we're going to continue to have this type of easy money policy for some time to come. And that's their concern. It's they have two concerns. One, they're afraid the Fed's going to tighten up on money supply. Number two, they're afraid of inflation. They're afraid we're going to turn this thing loose.
Well,
those are the only two fears they have. And
well, when you see output per man hour, John, going up as it is, and the other things, I think the inflation thing for a while is going to be there are going to be other controlling forces in addition to our wage price board.
I agree.
That output per man hour figure yesterday was a hell of a good one.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Sure was.
What is this? They ask you another thing. Did you get Padgett managing?
Talk to him. He's called me this morning. Unfortunately, I was up on the hill.
I see.
At a meeting, I've got to call into him now. He's going to call back this afternoon. I talked to him.
Oh, you did talk?
Oh, I talked to him within 30 minutes after you talked to me.
Okay.
He's extremely flattered, extremely interested. He said he had a problem. He sold his company, as you know, to First National City.
Yeah.
And immediately after that, they hit on some hard times because of the general business conditions. And he was pulling them out on the long road back, and he didn't want to run out and leave them. And I said, well, hell,
the road's going to be better now anyway.
Sure. And so he wanted 48 hours, and he's called me back this morning, so I'll have something for you this afternoon on that.
Yeah. The other thing is that your eyes open for, other people here in this like that. I mean, this
Marcia,
when we get to an appointment that we can make by, let's just get one of our friends in it.
Marcia.
I mean, not only our friends, but there are so many good men. We always seem to sort of come up with the same, tired people.
I agree.
They're guys just itching to do things.
They sure are. They sure are.
The trouble is, the trouble is the guy's really successful, everything. He doesn't want to root himself out and go over to Bond.
There's not many of us that are
silly. He's so goddamn silly, isn't that right? Well, I'll tell you, after you go down and do that, catch that marlin, you'll feel better.
Yeah.
Okay, John.
All right, sir.
Thank you, bud.